The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Meditation doesn't have to be a solo practice. Meditation is more fun with friends. Looking for a way to drop in and hang out at the same time? Join us online at Omega Institute for a meditation party with self-proclaimed meditation nerds Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, Sabine Selassie, and Jeff Warren. This three-day retreat will stream live from Omega's Hudson Valley campus May 17th to 19th. Don't miss the party. Reserve your spot at eomega.org/party today.
Let's jazz it up. Let's all get together now.
Welcome to the Laura Theodore Podcast. You may know me from my popular television show, Jazzy Vegetarian, where I feature easy and delicious vegan recipes, along with tips for living a kinder plant-based life. Now I invite you to join me here each week, where I'll welcome amazing guests to share upbeat and informative conversations featuring motivational lifestyle advice and nutritional guidance, plus lots of jazzy-licious recipe ideas. It's all served up with sensational music on the side.
Music!
So let's get talking. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Laura Theodore Podcast. I am your host, Laura Theodore, and I hope you are feeling good. I hope you are well, and it is so great that you have joined me today. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast because we have a really thrilling podcast. We have a fantastic guest. I am going to be speaking with the awesome John Lewis, aka the Badass Vegan. And John is a health advocate and an activist for the wellness of all living beings. John is the author of the fabulous new book, Badass Vegan: Fuel Your Body and Live Your Life Right. And I'd like to welcome him to the program right now. How are you today, John?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great because I'm speaking with you, and this is a fantastic, fantastic book that everybody must pick up a copy, Badass Vegan, Fuel Your Body and Live Your Life Right. Great recipes, as always, in a great cookbook like yours, but you just have so many wonderful tips, ideas, and I just want to get right to it. First, what experience first inspired you to go plant-based?
For me, actually, it was my mother becoming sick and developing colon cancer. For me, once I, you know, asked the doctors, how did this happen? And he was telling me that it, you know, wasn't a hereditary thing, because that's what I thought automatically. He's like, it's more of a lifestyle disease, and it's attributed to, like, the food she eats and, you know, animal foods and things like that. I'm like, wait a minute, so this is not hereditary? He said, no, not at all. So I did more research. I didn't, you know, just dive right into veganism after hearing that, because I was skeptical myself. And the more and more I just read up, I saw it wasn't just the heart disease. I mean, it wasn't just the cancer, but it was the heart disease, the hypertension, and the list just kept going on and on related to the ingestion of this animal protein.
Yeah. And I know you had some other reasons for going plant-based too, as we all do. And you just talk about that so beautifully in the book. Just talk about that for a minute, if you would, please.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it started off for health reasons, but as I stayed longer and longer, and you know how they say you, once you dive in the rabbit hole, it just kind of opens up, and that's really what it was. And I got to see that it was, you know, it wasn't just my health that was impacted by this industry. It was, you know, the animals' lives themselves and the earth. And then, you know, one of the main things that really got me was that how many humans are affected about this, you know, because this industry poisons the land, poisons the water, poisons the air. It does so many horrible things, but it's masquerading around as this healing power and things that we need in order to survive today.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And I had kind of the same journey there. You know, at first it was for health reasons. And then I started realizing, wait a minute, there's all these other reasons that are as important or even more important. You know, for me, the wake up call when I was interviewing Gene Bauer of Farm Sanctuary many, many years ago, and he talked about the cruelty of veal, you know, of baby cows. And when I was a child, I used to visit my aunt and uncle's cow farm, and, you know, they were a dairy farm. And I always wondered, why are the sweet little baby cows in those little dark houses? And it wasn't until I spoke with Gene and read his first book that came out years ago that I realized, oh my God, this is just so horrible. And so I agree with you 100%. You know, there's just so many reasons now to go plant-based. But what I really love about your book, John, is that you really, really get into the nitty-gritty. And on page 60, you talk about the fact that Black and brown communities have less access to food than poor white communities. And in affluent white communities, that problem, of course, is completely non-existent. So I hope you just share your thoughts on that and share about that very important topic with us today.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people don't see it because they don't have to live it. And that's great that they don't have to live it. The key is to have nobody have to live this, you know, trauma. But it is a discrepancy if you really take a look. You know, one of the biggest things is that I always say is that if you go through any well-off neighborhood, you won't see a McDonald's, you won't see a gun store, you won't see a check cashing store, you won't see the things that you'll, if you go through poor neighborhoods, you'll see the Taco Bells, you'll see the Burger King, you'll see the gun stores, the check cashing stores, you'll see all these things that they wouldn't allow in these richer neighborhoods. And that's just one way of looking at this access of, well, why would you put it in the poor neighborhoods but not in the richer neighborhoods if it's, you know, everyone's equal? And either, because there are people, even vegans, I love my vegans, don't get me wrong, but there are even vegans that think that there are no discrepancies and that everybody has the same starting line and things of that nature, but it's not the case. You know, you even look at the slaughterhouses and these farms that they call them farms that raise these animals for slaughter. They're poisoning the groundwater. They're poisoning the ground itself. You know, they have these things called spray fields. In the documentary that I filmed, which is the follow-up to What the Health, with Keegan Coon, we went and interviewed a hog farmer, and we talked to him, and he has these things called spray fields. He has three lagoons on his property, and those lagoons, just one lagoon holds almost 400,000 gallons, which is crazy.
400,000 gallons? Did you say 400,000 gallons? Wow. Wow.
And that's just one. So if you think about it, nobody's buying hog waste. So they have what they call spray fields. And what do the spray fields do? They spray this waste over these fields. They aren't growing crops there. It's a hog farm. They're not growing crops. They're not trying to make anything else. And what happens is all it takes is a breeze. And now this hog waste is being spread all around these cities that are basically surrounded by these hog farms and pig farms, I mean, and cow farms and chicken farms, whatever you want to call it. It's the same thing going down the line. The problem is that they have to breathe this and they have to live with this. Johns Hopkins did a test on some of the houses and they tested the walls and the toys and the stoves and the chairs and all this stuff. And it all came back with hog waste on it, because it's spraying all over it. So imagine just sitting there and you have to get ready for the smell every day you wake up.
Yeah.
To the point where you get used to it and you don't even realize it. And then it infects your respiratory system and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big, big problem. I agree 100%. And it's a very kind of a wake up way to look at it, the way you're describing it. So I truly appreciate that. On the topic of animals, on page 46, you entitled an entire chapter, chapter 4, "We Are All Animals." Boy, that's a simple statement, but it's oh so true. And it's something that I think we all need to look at one way or another. We are all animals. Talk about your feelings on that.
It's funny, I get a lot of pushback from that often, but I'm like, scientifically, we're all animals. You know, biologically, we're all animals. And I think, you know, a lot of people try to compare ourselves to the lion and the cheetahs and the the carnivores of the world, but that's not us. We are, as you know, if you're thinking about religion or if you're thinking about just top of the food chain, that doesn't mean that we have the will to just take over and kill whatever we want. If you talk of religion, I always say that, you know, if you think that life is full of tests that God gives you, well, then why would not eating meat be another test? You know, you have to wait till marriage for sex. You have to, you know, be good to others. You know, it's so many things. Like, why wouldn't this be another thing? You know, people think that because meat tastes so good, we're supposed to have it. It's like, no, meat doesn't taste good. It's made to taste good. We don't just quick, you know, we don't just eat animals in their raw form. You know, maybe sushi for some people, but in normal circumstances, we don't. And I believe that there's just that responsibility. I talk about it in the chapter. I was doing an interview with CNN, and the guy asked me, he said, let's say you're on your, you're about to be executed, your last meal. And he goes, what would be your last meal? And I said, well, I make these great badass vegan nachos that are amazing. And he goes, wait a minute, you would ask for vegan nachos? He's like, you wouldn't ask for a great big juicy steak? And I go, and we never rehearsed this. This is like right on the spot. But my first automatic reaction was, well, why would I want something else to die just because I'm dying? And yeah. Even he was like, wow, I never thought of that. And I was like, yeah, it's like we have this concept of like, well, if I'm going out, everybody's going out. Or we're just so selfish as a race of animals that we don't even see how much damage we're doing to the earth.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And there's something you said a couple of minutes ago, you know, the meat has to be made to taste good. There's something I've talked about in my books and on my television show quite often. If you think about it this way, you know, a lot of times people say to me, oh, you know, I don't want to make this tofu recipe that you've, you know, posted online or that's in your book, etc., because I don't like tofu. And I say, well, you know, think about it. If you gave somebody a raw egg, you know, you had guests over and you served raw eggs in a bowl, everybody would say, yuck, I don't like that. It's the same thing with tofu. And, you know, you have to cook it just like you would eggs, just like you would meat, just like everything that a carnivore or an omnivore is eating, you make it taste good. I mean, that's just what it is. Don't you agree?
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. I mean, that's just across the board. It's like when people say, or I've even heard people say, well, I can't be vegan because I don't like, I can't have tofu. I'm like, there are over 70,000 edible plants in the world. Because you like tofu is not an excuse not to go vegan. You're just trying to find that perfect excuse. And just like anything else, you know, there's meat that if it's cooked wrong, is going to be nasty. It's the same thing with vegan food. If it's cooked wrong, it won't taste right. But that doesn't mean you stopped eating meat because you had one bad steak. You kept eating it. So the same thing with vegan food is like, if you had one bad experience with tofu, then that doesn't mean that's the end all be all. Maybe somebody didn't know how to cook it correctly or to your taste palate, and yeah. You just keep, you know, finding it or subbing out the tofu for something else. It doesn't have to be tofu.
Exactly. Subbing out the tofu for something else. That's what I agree with 100%. And I say all the time, I mean, it's funny you brought this up. I don't even think I've thought about it that way. But, you know, you think about somebody who's eating meat and they see a meat recipe and it'll say, well, you use this kind of meat or that kind of meat. Somebody might say, oh, well, I'm going to make that with chicken. Well, it's the same thing with a vegan recipe. You see something that has tofu in it. Well, you say, oh, I could make that with a meat analog. I could make that with seitan. I could make that with tempeh. I could make that with black beans. I mean, there's so many different options. You are right on it. Boy, brilliant. Well, you know, a lot of people might be listening to this program today and they might be saying, well, you know, I'm trying out the vegan thing, but I'm not quite sure. But I know that John Lewis is going to know how to start out. And I'd love it if you would share one of your favorite quick and easy plant-based recipes that are really delicious, but that maybe you eat or prepare on a day that you're going to be really busy.
I have to go back to one of my original recipes, which is the Badass Beautiful Mess. And the reason why I love this recipe so much is because this is when I was, I mean, literally broke. I had no money in the bank account. But I had some food around the house, and I threw this together, and it just turned out to be one of the most amazing dishes on a dime. You know, like, you don't have to spend a lot. It's a bed of quinoa with some sweet plantains on top, and I baked the plantains. You can fry them, but I prefer to bake them, put them on top, along with some guacamole that I make, and then I put grilled onions on top of that. And when I tell you, it is the most amazing thing in the world. And it's got your sweet palate, your salty palate. I even throw jalapenos in my guacamole, so it gives it that spicy as well. And it's got the crunch because, you know, the grilled onions can give it a little crunch. It's just perfect. It's just a perfect dish. And it takes 15 minutes to make. You know, quinoa takes so long to boil. You can have the plantains baking while you're doing that. Grilled onions take, you know, 5 minutes if that. And then, you know, the guacamole, you can make it by hand. Sometimes even if I'm making a lot of guacamole, I use the blender. You know, I know that's not traditional, but sometimes I'll do that. And it just all works out. And in 15 minutes, everything's ready to go. And it's just amazing, the taste.
Wow. My mouth is watering. We are speaking today with the amazing John Lewis, a.k.a. the Badass Vegan. And John is a health advocate. He's an activist for the wellness of all living beings. And he is author of the fabulous, fabulous book, Badass Vegan, Fuel Your Body and Live Your Life Right. And that, of course, is written by John Lewis. And you can learn more about John after the program today at badassvegan.com. That's badassvegan.com. Well, this has gone by way too quickly. So before we leave this today, if somebody is listening and they're saying, man, John is so right, but what's the first thing they can do to just start on that plant-based path, that vegan path every single day?
I always say it starts with self-love. It's like once you love yourself, then you wouldn't put certain things in your body. And that true self-love will trickle out to the rest. Then you start to love the animals. Then you start to love the earth. Then you start to love the other people that you're helping out by not contributing to it. But it starts with that self-love. It's like when you truly love yourself, you won't do certain things to yourself. You won't talk about yourself certain ways. And it definitely goes down to the food as well. You won't put certain things in your body, and you're going to get urges. You know, that's how it is. You know, I always say this, you know, the government messed up on a lot of things, but the one thing they got right is when they called it the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, because food is a drug. It's the most addictive thing we'll ever put in our body. So understanding that we're addicts to this food, you're going to get triggered. You're going to have times when the smell is going to hit you and you're like, oh man, I remember that. You're going to be around your family. They're going to be like, hey, you know, you can just have this one piece. All those things. But then when you love yourself so unconditionally, then you won't do that to yourself. And that's one thing I always say, is you got to start with self-love, and then it just trickles out.
Fantastic. You're amazing. You're brilliant. Thank you for the incredible work that you are doing to spread love and to help people learn to follow a plant-based diet. And I'm wishing you and your family good health and all good things. And I can't thank you enough for being here with us today.
Thank you. And same to you and yours and to everyone listening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, that was the fabulous, the fantastic John Lewis. You can learn more about John at badassvegan.com. Badassvegan.com. You might want to pick up a copy of his fantastic book. Well, I got a great recipe for you here today. It's from episode 802 at jazzyvegetarian.com, Pasta Imposters, and it's my peanutty carrot noodles. They're a gluten-free noodle type of dish showcasing carrots in place of pasta. It's reminiscent of a restaurant favorite. It makes a quick, delicious first course, side dish, or a light luncheon entree. Makes 2 to 4 servings, and this is how it goes. For your carrot noodles, you're going to need about 4 to 6 medium or 3 to 4 large carrots peeled. And then for your peanut sauce, all you need to do is mix together 4 heaping tablespoons of creamy peanut butter. You can also use tahini if you want. You could certainly use almond butter, cashew butter, whatever you prefer in this recipe. 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, 2 teaspoons of tamari, a dash of cayenne pepper, and 3 to 6 tablespoons of water, plus more as needed. And to make your sauce, you're just going to put all those ingredients in a small bowl and briskly whisk until well combined, adding 1 more tablespoon of water at a time to achieve the desired consistency. Then you're going to cut your carrots into thin noodles using a vegetable peeler or a spiralizer. And then you're going to fit a steamer basket into a medium-sized saucepan with a tight-fitting lid. Add 2 to 3 inches of water, then add the carrots. Of course, there you got those carrot noodles. And then cover and bring to a boil. Steam the carrots for about 2 to 3 minutes until they are al dente, like al dente pasta. Pretty cool, right? Then just transfer those warm carrots to a medium-sized bowl, pour the sauce over the carrot noodles, and then gently toss using tongs or a large fork until the carrots are thoroughly coated with the peanut sauce. Now, you can serve these warm, which I have done. You can cover and refrigerate them for 2 to 4 hours and serve them nice and cold. I love them cold. And that is the scoop. Carrot noodles. And they are a great recipe at jazzyvegetarian.com. That's jazzyvegetarian.com. Episode 802, Pasta Imposters. Now, if you listen to this podcast a lot, you might be interested in watching the television show Jazzy Vegetarian is, of course, vegan and delicious. It airs all across the nation. It airs every week on the Create channel, every Sunday, every Monday. So go to the website at jazzyvegetarian.com and check it out, or check your local listings for Jazzy Vegetarian on PBS and public television. Well, music today. Here's something I really love by one of our favorite guests here at the Laura Theodore podcast. It's Johannes Lindsted and Midnight Rumba. Johannes Lindsted and Midnight Rumba. We love his music. You can learn more about Johannes at johanneslindsted.com. That's johanneslindsted.com. Well, this always goes by so quickly. I'm so grateful that you take the time out to listen to this podcast each and every Wednesday at mindbodyspirit.fm, because I know you have so many podcasts you can tune into. So, until next time, be happy, be healthy, and be well. From me, Laura Theodore, a.k.a. the Jazzy Vegetarian.
Hello, I'm Dr. Stephen Farber, and I am an author, teacher, psychotherapist, and shamanic practitioner. On my podcast, Healing for Your Soul, I welcome some amazing guests and introduce you to some healing techniques like earth magic, working with nature and animals, and really getting to the heart of what is keeping you stuck. I want to help you deepen your spirituality and let go of blocks that are holding you back. Let me help you in this journey called life. Part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Subscribe and follow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.